live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. I'm Emma Rose Callaghan with the main evening news. Coming up in this bulletin, a COVID-19 vaccine could be rolled out in the EU within days after the Pfizer-BioNTech jab was given approval. There's a warning that Donegal will find it extremely difficult to cope with a no-deal Brexit. It's thought that the impact of COVID-19 coupled with decades of underdevelopment leaves the county in a vulnerable position. And the Higher Education Minister says the government has no plans to change the school calendar over rising rates of COVID-19. Northern Ireland will introduce remote learning for some secondary school students from the end of January. And we'll be joined with a sports update at around 5:15. But first in news, the Cabinet Subcommittee on COVID-19 will meet this evening to discuss bringing forward tighter COVID restrictions. The hospitality sector is expected to be closed earlier than planned amid concern about the rising number of cases. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
There is significant concern around the Cabinet table about the new strain of COVID-19 in the UK and whether or not it's already made its way into the country. The three coalition party leaders will meet this evening with the Health Minister and the Chief Medical Officer to discuss the way forward. NPHET's advice to close the hospitality sector, reimpose the ban on inter-county travel and limit house gatherings from the 28th of December could be brought forward. One senior government figure said everything is on the table this evening. Another said that the situation is changing rapidly, but it's only going in one direction, towards tighter restrictions. One minister said they expected more pressure to be applied for harsher restrictions following a press conference CMO Dr. Tony Holohan is giving this evening. No firm date has yet been decided, but ministers are expected to consider any day after Christmas for the move to a version of Level 3+. The 48-hour travel ban from the UK will also be extended at tomorrow's Cabinet meeting.
A COVID-19 vaccine could be rolled out in the EU within days after the Pfizer-BioNTech jab was given approval. The European Medicines Agency says it's an important step forward in tackling the pandemic. Stephen Murphy reports.
Our scientific opinion paves the way for a first marketing authorisation of a COVID-19 vaccine in the EU.
They're the words we've all been waiting so long to hear. Nearly 10 months on from Ireland's first confirmed case, a coronavirus vaccine has been approved for use across the EU. The European Medicines Agency says the Pfizer-BioNTech jab has met its standards for quality, safety and efficacy. Executive Director Eimear Cook says the vaccine alone won't be a silver bullet.
But the authorisation of this first vaccine is definitely a major step in the right direction and an indication that 2021 can be brighter than 2020.
Ireland is set to get over 2 million doses of the vaccine, and the rollout here is due to start by next Tuesday at the latest. Higher Education Minister Simon Harris says it'll provide the way out of the pandemic.
What we need to do, quite frankly and quite bluntly, is make sure everyone's alive long enough to get the vaccine. That's the challenge. Keep people alive so we can get them the vaccine.
The EMA says giving the vaccine to pregnant women should be considered on a case-by-case basis and that more data is needed on the potential risks. It's also found no evidence that the vaccine would be resistant to the new coronavirus strain.
The Higher Education Minister says the government has no plans to change the school calendar over rising rates of COVID-19. Northern Ireland will introduce remote learning for some secondary school students from the end of January for at least 2 weeks. There have been calls for schools in the Republic to go back later than planned after Christmas if there's a surge of COVID cases. Minister Simon Harris says there are currently no plans to do that.
The government has no plans to alter the school calendar currently. The government obviously always continues to monitor very closely public health advice, but what I'd much rather be doing today is trying to avoid the January surge. I mean, we can't allow ourselves to get into this mindset that the future is inevitable, that this is just going to happen and it's going to be really bad. We should be asking ourselves, what can we do today to stop it happening? Because it hasn't happened yet.
There's a warning that Donegal will find it extremely difficult to cope with a no-deal Brexit. It's thought that the impact of COVID-19 coupled with decades of underdevelopment leaves the county in an exceptionally vulnerable position if there isn't a trade deal between the UK and EU. Brexit trade talks are continuing today, with the UK saying there are still big differences between both sides. Tom Murray from Border Communities Against Brexit says we need huge investment in Donegal and other northwest counties in order to retain young people into the future.
If it was a very, very limited period, you align that with the impact that COVID has had on the economy, it will be extremely difficult for the northwest to deal with any form of no-deal Brexit. It's already struggling massively with the COVID situation, and the Northwest has struggled massively for years because of the presence of the border, in particular in Donegal. We have suffered, all border counties have suffered. They've never had the same level of development as other areas of the country. We have youth and employment rates along the border in the under 25 age group at up to 40%. That's unsustainable. That will not provide for a future for any of our local economies or for our towns and villages and our rural communities. And we do need to see huge investment in the development of Donegal, Sligo, Leitrim, not just as tourist destinations, but also as e-hubs for other commerce. We need to find investment that allows us to retain our young people at home so that we can have economies in this area, because we won't have an economy, we won't have villages, towns and population without young people being employed.
The Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation is urging the government to honour the commitment, made to the fishing sector in the mandate given to EU Chief Negotiator Michel Barnier. The Irish seafood sector directly supports more than 16,000 jobs and is worth more than €1.2 billion annually to the Irish economy. As trade talks continued over the weekend, Brussels warned an agreement must be in place soon if it is to be approved by the European Parliament in time for the new year. Chief Executive of the KFO, Sean O'Donoghue, believes the industry is on the brink and the shape of a deal as currently stands will be the ruination of the Irish seafood sector.
If that stands, I would envisage that we would lose over the medium to long term 5,000 to 6,000 jobs right around the coast in the Irish fishing industry, and that is totally unacceptable. And we've been assured that if there is no fisheries agreement, there'll be no trade agreement. And you can be sure that the UK, they are saying that the UK offer is going to have to be significantly increased on what it is already. So this is totally unacceptable.
A man was rescued from the Erne estuary after his boat ran aground on rocks yesterday afternoon. He was rescued by volunteers from Bundoran RNLI with assistance from officers from Inland Fisheries Ireland. Owen Murphy has more.
The first call for help came just before 1 p.m. from the man on the boat, who had placed an emergency call to the Irish Coast Guard at Malinhead. The lifeboat was immediately requested to launch, as was the Sligo-based Rescue 118 helicopter. On examination of the scene, it was determined that due to sea conditions, it will be unsafe for the lifeboat to launch and try to get across the bar at the end of the Erne estuary. Subsequently, four volunteer crew made their way by road to the fisheries boat, helmed by one of their officers, which was already about 50 metres from the casualty vessel. The man was then safely extracted from the boat and brought to the shore, where he was assessed by crew from the National Ambulance Service. The Bundoran lifeboat was then brought under Garda escort by road to Ballyshannon, where it was launched from the Mull Pier to tow the casualty boat to safety.
North Inishowen is the cheapest place to rent nationwide at €498 per month in quarter three of 2020. The latest Residential Tenancies Board index shows that Letterkenny had the highest rent average in the county at almost €679, while the average rent in Donegal currently stands at €618, a slight increase on the same period last year. Conor O'Toole is Senior Research Officer from the ESRI.
In the period we're looking at for the latest rent index, which covers the third quarter of 2020, Carndonagh came out as the cheapest place in Ireland to rent in that particular quarter. And, you know, for Donegal overall, rents were up 1.1% for the year, and standardised average rent sits at around €620 per month. So certainly, relative to other places in Ireland, Donegal appears more affordable than elsewhere.
We do know that this crisis has also proven that more and more people can and are able to work from home. And when you contrast the rents in Dublin compared to the likes of Donegal, it does make the county quite an attractive place to work and live.
Yes, it certainly does. You know, one of the big questions that housing market commentators are taking from the current crisis is whether or not this will cause a structural shift in work-life, work-living relationships. And will people move more outside the bigger cities to try and get a better work-life balance now that they maybe don't need to be in an office in a city centre from 9 to 5 every day? So certainly you would hope that there will be the possibility for those who are in jobs where they can work from home and have more flexibilities around their work lives, that they will be able to maybe take advantage of lower cost living conditions outside the big cities. Now that certainly will be a great thing if it could happen. Don't really have any evidence of that happening to date.
€360 worth of cannabis and a shotgun have €360,000 worth of cannabis and a shotgun have been seized in Sligo and Leitrim. It's after Gardaí stopped a car for road traffic breaches in Sligo town yesterday afternoon. This led to the discovery of €350,000 worth of cannabis located in a number of packages. In a follow-up search in Manor Hamilton, County Leitrim, Gardaí seized a shotgun and €10,000 of cannabis. A man in his 40s has been arrested and is in Garda custody. Donegal County Council and the Office of Public Works are progressing the preliminary investigation and design stage of the Glenties Flood Relief Scheme. A detailed assessment of flood risk in the town based on present day and future scenarios is to be undertaken. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Topographical surveys of watercourses, adjacent lands and property thresholds of residential and commercial premises are now required. These works will capture the data needed to build up an up-to-date computer model of the scheme area. The model will simulate flow scenarios in detail to define flood extent and depth. Model outputs will identify properties at risk from flooding and what may be needed to protect them. If measures are required, the options considered will range from nature-based catchment solutions that slow the flow to localised interventions such as embankments or adapting existing defences, or a combination of these. All measures will be subject to a rigorous environmental assessment. Murphy Geospatial have been appointed to carry out survey works in Glenties, with work getting underway on the River Channel survey between the 5th and 14th of January, while a land and property threshold survey will take place between the 18th and 22nd of January.
Planning permission has been granted for a new extension to Garton National School. Donegal County Council has given the green light for the extension, which will comprise of a new mainstream classroom with ancillary accommodation and other associated site development works. The proposed extension is intended to replace an existing porta cabin, with the school stating that it's no longer suitable for the needs of the school. Local councillor Michael McBride envisages work to be done over the summer months.
All the students at the school and for the teachers at the school to have the porta cabin that they're currently using out there replaced with a new classroom and auxiliary buildings and all the related site work. So I think it's great news at this time of year for everybody concerned. When you're in there doing building work, you need nearly all the room that's on the campus for to get the work done. So I would imagine that they'll target the summer months for to try and get the construction.
And we cross over to sport now with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Emma Rose. We start with Gaelic Games, and the GAA have released their plans for the 2021 National Leagues and Championships. The National Hurling and Football Leagues will run from the weekend of February 28th, right through until the start of April. The National League will be split into a new system of North and South counties. Tyrone, Monaghan and Armagh will be Donegal's opposition in the league. Meanwhile, Hurling and Football Championships will see knockout games provincially. The Ulster Football Championship is due to start on the weekend of the 17th of April, with a final penciled in for the weekend of the 30th of May. The All-Ireland Football Final is scheduled for the weekend of the 18th of July, with the Hurling Final the week before that. The backdoor system will return in 2021 in the Football Championship. Senior inter-county training is allowed to resume as from the 15th of January. The club championships will be played from the weekend of the 24th of July and will continue right through to the end of the year, with provincial and All-Ireland clubs set to take place in the last few weeks of 2021. So it's all changed as expected for next year. in the GAA calendar. Dublin, of course, will go on to defend their All-Ireland title as they've gone for a seventh crown in a row. Dublin manager Desi Farrell says his players don't get the full recognition that they deserve. His side, of course, won their sixth consecutive All-Ireland Football Championship on Saturday in what was Desi Farrell's first year in charge. The Dublin manager will be a guest tonight on Brendan Devaney's DL Debate.
It was a very, very different year in so many ways, you know, and just delighted for the players that we were able to get over the line on Saturday night there. We knew it was going to be a very tough game against Mayo, to be fair, and they always put it up to us and go toe-to-toe, and just very, very thankful that we got out the other side of it, Brendan, to be honest.
And Desi, tell me, there's pressure in all county management, and I was thinking about yourself when you took the job. There's a very different pressure attached to it. Of course, Dublin, the most high-profile team in the country, but also there was this winning run that you had to keep going. How did that feel about you taking over the job? Because everyone was looking at then, was there a chink there? Was there a time that Dublin mightn't be what they were? And funny, I spoke to Kieran Whedon last week, and I said, listen, knowing Desi and knowing you, how you knew all these players, if anything, Dublin were going to be better this season.
Yeah, look, Jim Gavin and his management team had done a phenomenal job over the last number of years, so there was always that to contend with, that success that had been there, but it just, to be honest, it didn't really engage with that. It was more, for me, it was more about the players and, you know, getting to reunite with some of those lads that I'd coached, some of them actually from under 12, under 13 development squads, right through to under 21. It was fantastic to have that opportunity, and I feel very honoured for that have come my way. And so to me, it was all about the players and, you know, trying to create that environment where they could be the best version of themselves, and, you know, hopefully through that, the success would continue.
And you can hear more from Desi Farrell tonight on the DL Debate with Brendan Devaney. The podcast will be online as from 7 o'clock, and of course it will be on air as well from just after the 7 o'clock news. In the final programme of the year, Brendan's guests will also include former Mayo man David Brady and the thoughts of a Donegal journalist, Kieran Cunningham, of course, who writes with the Star. Well, after Sunday's Ulster Minor Football Championship action, we now know the semi-final pairings. Monaghan will take on Fermanagh and Tyrone will take on Derry. Holders Tyrone reached the last four by beating Donegal and Ballybuffet yesterday. And with further lockdowns and restrictions on the way, Tyrone boss Colly Holmes is hopeful the semi-finals will get played.
The Ulster Council at the minute have decided, you know, that there's going to be dates and they have a dispensation. We hope that continues. But again, we're only a master to the health services and what their decisions are. So if we have to push this back another couple of weeks, we'll have to do it. We've been there before three and four times, so our patience is well tested at this stage.
In soccer, Stephen Doherty has re-signed with Finn Harps ahead of the 2021 campaign. Doherty is the second Harps Academy product to be confirmed in the senior setup for 2021, having represented the club at under-17 and under-19 level before penning his first pro deal in mid-2019. Cross channel, two Premier League games took place this evening. Burnley, who are unbeaten in their last three games, host Wolves. That one gets underway at 5:30. It's a London derby then at 8 o'clock as Chelsea welcome West Ham to Stamford Bridge. Frank Lampard's side have suffered from back-to-back defeats, but could go fifth if they earn all 3 points. The Chelsea manager says he has expected his side to have some ups and downs this season.
My best years certainly came in my mid to late 20s up to 30, and we were a group that were all similarly aged, similarly hungry, and we fought and worked for success. At the moment we are younger here, generally we have some experienced heads in the team, so the expectations are always going to be big at Chelsea, but they shouldn't be too big on the players.
Arsenal's Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang has been ruled out off the English League Cup quarter-final tie against Manchester City tomorrow. The striker is currently recovering from a calf injury, according to his manager, Mikel Arteta. In cycling, Donegal rider Mitchell McLaughlin has penned a new deal with the Swift Caravan Pro Team for next season. The team will contest events as a UCI Continental Team for 2021, racing in the best events in Europe, taking in Belgium, Italy, France and Portugal. It's a second continental contract for McLaughlin, who signed with Zappi Racing in August of this year, but found his time limited due to cancelled events because of COVID. And Dart's second favourite, Gerwyn Price, gets his PDC World Championship campaign for the year underway this evening. The world number three will take on fellow Welshman Jamie Lewis at Alexandra Palace in London. That one starts at 8 o'clock. And in golf, Lee Westwood is the European Tour Golfer of the Year. The 47-year-old won the race to Dubai after finishing runner-up to Matt Fitzpatrick at the DP World Tour Championship earlier this month. Westwood, who has represented Europe at 10 Ryder Cups, also claimed victory at the Abu Dhabi Championship, which was way back in January. That's your sport, MROs.
And finally, in weather, rain will clear this evening to leave it mostly dry and feeling much colder. Mostly dry with some clear spells tonight and just a few passing showers. Frost and some icy patches will develop as overnight temperatures fall to between minus 2 and plus 2 degrees. And a look at the closing headlines. A COVID-19 vaccine could be rolled out in the EU within days after the Pfizer-BioNTech jab was given approval. There's a warning that Donegal will find it extremely difficult to cope with a no-deal Brexit. It's thought that the impact of COVID-19 coupled with decades of underdevelopment leaves the county in an exceptionally vulnerable position. And the Higher Education Minister says the government has no plans to change the school calendar after over-rising rates of COVID-19. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of the main evening news on highlandradio.com. Back with the headlines again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Monday evening, December 21st. The death has occurred of Damien Conley, 77 Lurganboy Road, Castlederg. Funeral from his late home on Wednesday at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Castlederg. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Due to government restrictions, the house mass and interment are strictly private to the immediate family. The mass can be viewed via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Castlederg. The death has taken place of Martin O'Donnell, Ards Creasla. His remains will be reposing at his home from approximately 9 o'clock tonight. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Creasla on Wednesday at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv/St Michael's Church, Creasla. Family flowers only, donations if desired, to Patients Comfort Fund, Beaumont Hospital, Dublin. Care of any family member or James Harkin, Funeral Director, Creasla. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only. The death has occurred of Elizabeth Doherty, Naima McGovern, Corrine Balbuffet and formerly Dunlow. Funeral leaving her home on Wednesday at 11:15 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Secure Glenfinn at 12:00. Interment afterwards in Kilty Vogue Cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv/Our Lady of Perpetual Secure Glenfinn. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to Oncology Day Services, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. In compliance with current HSC and government guidelines, the house and funeral will be strictly private to the immediate family only, please. The death has taken place of Kathleen Hegarty, Letchermakenny Stranorler. Funeral from her late residence on Wednesday at 10 o'clock, going to St Mary's Church Convoy for 11 o'clock funeral mass. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please, in compliance with current government and HSE guidelines. The wake, funeral and interment will be strictly private to family only, please. And the death has occurred at Brindley Manor Nursing Home Convoy of Josie Fisher, Drumbahle Port New, reposing at St Connell's Church, Kilclooney. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the house and funeral are strictly private to family only.